Good afternoon, Encore.
Hi, is Laurel in?
Speaking.
Hey, Laurel, this is Sam over at Bank of Cardiff. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I just wanted to touch base with you. Looks like we spoke almost 2 months ago about possibly getting some working capital in place for you. Just wanted to circle back, see how business is going, see if you had any plans coming up that might require financing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, yes and no.
Yes and no.
We sort of have a relationship with a bank, and you know, I'm trying to. You know, it's something that I think about now and then.
Sure.
You know, do we want to make a change? Why would I make a change? You know, and
sure.
It's all about. I think it's all about rates and terms and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. What do you currently use with your bank? Do they have a line of credit for you that you work with?
Yep. Yeah. No, we have a line of credit. We have. You know. I think they give us everything we want. I mean, now and then my bookkeeper complains that they're charging us fees.
Sure.
Or, you know, any number of things. But, you know, it's generally speaking, it's a small amount of money in the big picture. It's
yeah.
Just, you know, every time you watch TV and you see something that says no fees, you're like, how come? why are we being charged fees?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you sort of feel like
banks are fee based, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, there's that. So, you know, it's one of those things that it's easy enough to disregard because it's not a big enough problem.
No, absolutely.
If it's a problem at all. Did you say Bank of Cardiff?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Tell me who you are, exactly.
So, yeah, we're a private business bank. So we're not a non-depository bank. We don't accept deposits. We're strictly a business lender. We actually specialize in equipment financing. We've been doing also kind of like working capital loans for about 10 years now.
Yeah.
A lot of different programs, a lot of different, you know, options as far as, you know, terms and payback options go. I know when we spoke last time, you had mentioned that you have sort of short-term receivables that a lot of times you're waiting on. And that's actually kind of a situation that the programs are used a lot for. So I didn't know if, you know, if you have that situation that's there, if you'd be interested in seeing what's available to you. Is that still a situation that you work with, the short-term receivables?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, well, now we're just going to get into the whole psychology of banking because, you know, I kick myself, and then as a result of kicking myself, I blame my bank because, you know, we should have bought a piece of real estate, you know, 20 years ago.
Sure.
And whoever we were banking with probably should have encouraged us to do that. You know, there's a long list of regrets when it comes to banks, and that's kind of ridiculous because, and I know this is going to sound naive, because I believe something as important as your banking relationship is something that you should be able to count on, not get angry about, not kick yourself. You know, you should be able to really have a level of comfort with your bank that you almost would with your doctor. You know, you want them to consult
Absolutely.
With you. You know, you want them to steer you in the right direction, because I do genuinely believe that given the right set of circumstances, if the bank does the job that ultimately you'd like them to do, it works for everybody.
Yeah, it should be a mutual situation, 100%.
Right, because, you know, when I think about the kind of money we've spent on rent, I just want to cut my throat.
I do the same.
So you've been renting for too long, right?
Oh, way too long. I can't wait
right.
to get out of that. Yes.
Well, you know, and I don't mean to give you such a graphic feeling about that, but it's that intense, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at it as wasted money. Really.
I don't even like to say it out loud.
Yeah.
What we spent on rent. I literally can't say it out loud. I can't stop my brain from processing the number, and I just want to scream. And I would rather have that equity in a piece of real estate.
Sure.
I mean, we're 27 years old. Can you imagine? We've already paid off a mortgage by now.
Oh, yeah, 27, and you've been renting the whole time?
Yep.
Have you guys have been at the same location the entire time?
20 in this one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It's I'm sorry you called, Sam. Thanks for bringing up.
my apologies.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Was not the intent.
This is horrible. I didn't want to have this conversation today. So, you know, there's that, and there's all the money that we put into a bank, and quite often it just sits there.
Sure.
And I personally and professionally. So, like I said, let's get back to the whole relationship part. That's what's missing, and that's what's been missing for probably the length. And as you can tell, I'm fairly transparent. I'm, you know, right out there.
Yeah, that's
with,
a good way to be.
You know, with my thoughts and feelings about a lot of things, and business is certainly one of them. And it's just a shame. It's really a shame. I think I gave up on it. I think I tried, and we just have, you know, had the bad luck of being with the wrong banks. And they give us what we want, mm-hmm. but not to the extent that they should have. They've stopped short in terms of, you know, offering the things that they should have when we needed them to be offered.
Sure. Is that sort of maybe, you know, access to capital to possibly bring on real estate, or is it maybe
You know, we never have a shortage of people offering us money. We get offering us money literally on a daily basis, either, you know, through the mail, through emails, phone calls, you name it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I suppose we're fairly solid, and if you've been around this long, then they assume you're doing something right.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a large state contract with the Commonwealth. We do business with people like the Boston Symphony. So there's a lot, you know, that I can brag about in terms of this company.
Yeah.
But I'm God, I'm so not happy you called.
I hate to elicit such emotion.
this is the one area that we failed.
Oh.
Our banking relationships have failed.
Sure. Now, have you jumped around to multiple different banks, or are you just at the same one but dealing with different people every time?
Not really. I mean, I can say early on that, you know, I left one bank because they so infuriated me.
I believe
so
that.
So infuriated me. That we had, because we had an employee who was paraplegic in a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
and I used to go and cash his paychecks for him. And there was one time when they wouldn't cash it, and I said, "Well, I've been doing this for a while now. You know, what's the problem?" There was some manager who was filling in that day, and it was just bad timing on everybody's part. And the teller took the check because it wasn't mine. I was doing it for an employee. And the manager said no, and I said, "No, you don't understand. I've been doing this for a while," and I explained the circumstances. And they said, no, he's got to come here. And I said, "Well, he's in a wheelchair, and you're not handicap accessible."
Oh,
and they said, and they said no. And I said, "You don't want to do that. You don't want to say no." And it was a small check. It was, you know, a few hundred dollars. I said, "You don't want to do that. Let's just cash it, and I'll bring him the money, and we'll call it a day."
Mm-hmm.
And they said no.
Just the lack of human understanding.
Yeah, it was just, it was absurd on a lot of levels.
Sure.
So I said, "Well, then let's shut this down. Let's close the account."
Fair enough. I mean,
yeah,
I agree very much with what you say, where you need a personal relationship with your bank, much like what you have with the doctor. It should be a two-way street where, you know, you're coming to them for business, but they're offering you something in return.
Right.
And
how about just calling me into the office and saying, "Hey, are you renting?" And I go, "Yeah. How long have you been renting?" "Oh, I don't know, 10 years. What are you paying?" "Oh, $5,000 a month." "Well, guess what you could be doing with that?"
Absolutely. You can get a mortgage for less than that.
Yeah. We've got a real estate division and blah, blah, blah. Something productive could have come from that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry.
And now you're not happy, are you?
No, well, hey, no, I can fully understand the sentiment. You're talking to another human being on the line over here. I work with people on a daily basis that are disillusioned with their current bank, so I'm quite familiar with the format there.
Is that a common feeling? People are just not happy with their bank?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, yes. And I would say increasingly more over the past maybe 3 to 4 years, we're seeing people who are, you know, they have solid businesses where everything is put together, their credit is in shape, and they're just not able to get what they need, let alone the helpful guidance from, you know, financial guidance coming from their financial advisors. A banker should be your financial advisor. You know,
I agree.
Not just somebody that takes your money.
I agree. Yeah. Well, plus, you know, my cousin, J.B. Grossman, was president of Homeowners Federal.
Mm-hmm.
You're too young to know that name.
I am, yes.
Anyway, there was a bank, and his office was on, I forget the name of the street. Anyway, his office faced the street. Faced the street. This
mm-hmm.
great big glass picture window. So you could literally, Milk Street maybe? And he would, you could walk down the street and you could see him in his office.
Sure.
And he'd wave to people on the street. This was the president of the bank.
Yeah.
How insane was that?
That's beautiful. Not the case anymore.
Yeah, no. Hey, listen, the bank isn't there anymore either. So, and neither is JB for that matter. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. You know, I like the people at the branch here. They're friendly. Anything I want, for the most part, they give me. There's no reason for them not to. But I think there are areas of banking and business that they fall short with.
Yeah.
And I think the real estate part of it, we all drop the ball with that.
Yeah, that's the one that gets you, huh?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah.
It definitely does.
I can definitely sympathize on a personal level because I deal with the same thing, renting for so many years now.
Yeah.
And
well,
in retrospect, wish I would have made that decision as a much younger person.
Well, you know, part of me thinks, you know, well, is it too late? And the fact of the matter, it could be too late. It could be too late because I'm not sure. I'm just not sure, you know, how much longer the company is going to keep going. I'm not sure about a lot of things.
Sure.
And, you know, right now with the politics being what they are, it's just a weird time to do anything.
Oh, that is another thing I can echo that I am hearing over and over again.
Are you hearing that?
You would not believe it. It goes both ways. It doesn't matter where you are on any sort of ideological spectrum. Just with the way that things are so... I mean, this is an election cycle unlike any other. We hear that all the time. But
right.
Because, regardless of why it's different, it's just created so much uncertainty that everybody is just locked up. Everybody's just locked up and not ready to take a risk because, you know, business, it does require at least, if not a risk, a leap of faith. But nobody wants to do that right now. And it's really locking a lot of people up. So
yeah.
I'm hoping, regardless of how this whole circus turns out, that November we're going to have some solid ground where people can start making plans for the future.
Yeah, it's really a difficult time to even think about doing anything different, about doing anything risky, about doing anything. The unknown factor is just too big.
Absolutely.
You just don't know what's going to happen to your country.
Yeah, I'm hearing it across industries too. And normally you'll hear it when you're dealing with commodities, oil, steel, sort of thing. But it is across every industry you could imagine.
Yeah.
It's taken a hold on everyone.
Well, I mean, I lead the sales effort here. And I think that the people that we talk to, and it's only because we're on a state contract, is there a certain sense of security because the Commonwealth isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
So we can reach out and do business and attempt to do business with all of the departments within the Commonwealth, and that's pretty sizable. So there is a sense of security in that that's a big customer of ours and they're not going anywhere.
Absolutely. That's nice to have.
Yeah, which means...
Especially now.
Right, which means we're probably going to stay put.
Yeah.
But reaching out to a lot of other people, that's what we're seeing and hearing, is just that crazy stuff, that fear. And, you know, I've ended up in lengthy conversations, almost like this, but I literally was on the phone for an hour today talking to somebody, and we got off the rails big time. And we went from talking about business to talking about Trump. And,
oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm serious. When you're talking to someone who's telling you about his best friends, he and his wife, and this couple they've been friends with, and now they find out these people are Trump supporters.
Yeah.
And literally the bedrock of their relationship with this couple is over.
Yeah.
And it just injects a level of insecurity and instability to, you know, just your very existence.
Yeah.
Because you don't even know who you're dealing with anymore, and these are friends. And he said, you know, it's happening with family and coworkers, and I think this is a really, really difficult time for everybody, especially
Absolutely.
People like you and me, for that matter.
Yeah.
Anybody in sales, anybody who's trying to talk to someone about doing something different, you know, taking a chance, because that's the way they look at it, is if you're asking me to sever my banking relationship,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't
yeah,
know.
Oh, I completely concur.
Yeah.
Completely concur. And even on a personal level, I mean, the way that it's been, this whole election cycle has been so incredibly divisive. I find myself not even going on social media just because I don't want to find out what the next
right.
person has to say.
Right. Oh, no. I had two people here. You know, I'm president of this company, right?
Yes, yes.
And I had one of my people come to me and say, did you know so-and-so is a Trump supporter? And I said, no. And she,
I don't want to know.
Right. And she said, well, you know, he and I used to be friends on Facebook, and we'd talk and back and forth, and, you know, pictures of children and, you know, the normal stuff. But next thing you know, this came up, and they're not talking.
Yeah. There's something
funny. And now they can't even look at each other.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want that going on. You can't do it here. I said, and you probably shouldn't do it out of here, because why should you waste your time and energy? So it's a very difficult. I may just stop. I'll stop the sales process until, you know, December or maybe after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know about you, but whatever happens after scares me as much as what's
just
happening
as now. Just as much, because if you're leading up with such, and you know what, normally, Laurel, to be honest with you, I try to avoid having these types of conversations,
yeah.
but since we're talking like actual people,
yeah.
I'll kind of engage here, right?
Yeah.
But because it's been so divisive, and I guess the areas that they focus on have nothing to do with policy or
right.
or actual people or any plans like that, because everything that is built upon is based on that sort of thing. What else can you expect coming after it? It's just a multiplier effect. And
well, but it's not just that. It's the fact that, and
yeah.
the name that should not be spoken.
Yes.
We're having a Harry Potter moment here, aren't we?
Yeah.
He has said and implied, never mind, did you watch the debate the other night?
I couldn't
believe
it.
How about the fact that he's going to have a special this, and next thing you know, they're going to arrest Hillary? I'm like, what?
You know what? 20 years ago, if somebody said that would have been the end of a campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, please. Do you remember at the beginning of his campaign when he said he could shoot someone in Times Square and it wouldn't matter?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That was the beginning. That was the beginning and everything since. And they've proven how much of what he says is lies. 70% of what he says is a lie.
Over and over.
And the fact that these supporters just let it go and let it go and let it go, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
These people, they're frightening. And he has said something to the effect of, look out for what happens if I don't win.
Oh, he has said that. He's saying it more and more.
Yeah.
Which
so,
and that creates something that we just went through in the past 8 years, where it's almost, I call it like a sore loser effect, where now it just leaves the rest of us locked up with just pure opposition. And I can see that only strengthening as we go forward.
Well, you know, we had a civil war here once.
Yeah.
It's not good. By the way, not to change the subject, but the Bank of Cardiff, are you in a, well, obviously you're in a physical location because they're human beings.
Yes.
Where are you?
I'm actually in San Diego, California. That's our main branch.
You're in San Diego?
No major complaints there, yeah.
No, my son moved from Vermont to San Diego.
Oh, nice.
And he just loved it. And then his company has been growing, and they asked him to go to the L.A. office, and he's not happy.
See, I'm originally from San Francisco. And,
oh, you are?
And I tell people the only other place I would live in California is San Diego.
There you are.
Yeah.
So you're in San Diego. There are no physical locations here.
I'm sorry?
You don't have any offices here, do you?
No, we do not. We have.
Okay, everything is sort of.
Yeah, it's you know, as far as the interaction goes, it's all over the phone. We handle everything online, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
But like I said, we're not a non-depository bank, so we don't take deposits. We're just strictly a lender.
So in theory, we would still need a relationship here. We would still need a banking relationship.
Absolutely, yeah. My call to you is not to ask you to change your banking relationship.
Right.
We really operate more as a supplement. Yeah, well, money or financing for any equipment that you would like or anything like that. We do a lot
and
of.
And if we decided we wanted to consolidate debt, for example.
Yeah,
if
we
wanted
that as
to pay off our line, if we wanted to pay off whatever corporate cards are being used for purchases.
Sure.
If we wanted to do something like that, what would your rates be for debt consolidation, or do you do that?
We do
mean,
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would
your
rates be? I'm just curious.
They are, to be completely honest with you, all over the board. All over the board. Depending on the type of consolidation you would want to do, if you wanted to have it secured by collateral, or if you didn't want to do that, the rates would vary. They can range really anywhere usually from about 4% annually to as high as maybe like 25% annually, which, you know, consolidating debt, a lot of people have some pretty crazy outrageous debt where they're shooting up at about 40%, something like that. So there are some cases where it can make sense, but my job is to find the areas that it does make sense.
Gotcha. Well, I don't think, to be honest, and I enjoy talking to you, Sam. This is very
nice. Yeah, you
as
well. This is a pleasant part of my day.
but I think that from our perspective, I think we have got 3% on one thing and I think 5% on something else. So our rates are really low.
Yeah.
Really low. I mean, we have on one of our credit cards, I think it's 0%. I don't understand that. I know we pay a fee.
Sure.
But it's a minimal amount. And, you know, we'll take 20,000 or 30,000 for some, you know, piece of equipment that's being purchased, and it's, but all the rates are low.
Sure. Well,
so
yeah,
there's really no way for you to compete with what we've got going.
Yeah.
That's all. We're pretty secure, that's all.
No, absolutely. And yeah, I don't try to, you know, I have no illusions about it. I know what I'm working with, so my job is to find where it makes sense, right? And
so yeah, no, I understand. So really the people you're looking for aren't necessarily able to tap into conventional banking, would you say?
Or if they are, it's just not enough for what they need at the time.
Oh, okay.
So, like, a lot of times, I do a lot of work with construction companies.
Yeah.
And they'll have projects come up, and they have a line of credit that they're working with, but sometimes it's only for, like, $100,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, startup costs for a project can be something like $200,000. What I do for that is I'm able to get them that $200,000 on a very short term, which allows us to minimize the interest costs. So they get they get the cash for the project, they do the project, they pay off the loan, they move on, they make a profit, and go to the next project.
Right. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sam, what is your phone number where I can reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. My direct line is 858.
Yep.
779-0425.
Okay. Well, I'll keep your information available, and should something come up, we did, as a matter of fact, a client of ours recently purchased a fairly expensive piece of equipment. It was just a scanner, but it was about $20,000. And what was interesting about the process, I wasn't involved in the original situation. One of our people who sold it, I'm trying to think of the manufacturer, but they had this special program. If you were sitting here, I'd be doing air quotes.
Special, yeah.
Yeah. So they had a special program, and they called it Try and Buy. So since I was raised by lawyers, I understand the concept. So the problem, though, is that this company somehow had a credit card of ours, and they put the charge on the card.
Okay.
So, but the whole idea was that we were supposed to test the equipment and then pay for it.
And then make the decision if you wanted to pay for it.
Right, and then decide if they wanted to keep it. But and when I spoke to the salesperson there, and it was interesting that he was so honest with me, he said, oh yeah, he said, that's kind of a joke. He said, because in here we call it buy and try.
Oh, man.
And I thought, he must be smoking something, because that's probably not what he should have said.
Yeah, he's definitely not supposed to say that.
Right. And I said, you understand that when you represented this, you represented it as try it and then buy it. And he says, oh, yeah, no, it's not exactly blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they ended up costing us $200 or $300 in interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the time frames that were involved in getting this equipment set up for the client and them trying the, it was just ridiculous. And now the client is saying, well, this is working pretty well. We might want to order, you know, a bunch more. So now they're talking about making a $100,000 or $200,000 purchase. And we're trying to figure out the best way to finance it.
Okay.
So well, this might be the exact thing that we're talking about, because they're going to order it. This company is probably going to want to be paid.
Sure.
And then they're going to be using it for 30 days before they pay for it. So there's a 30-day lag.
Oh, when you have a cost that comes in that 30 days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So that's something we can talk about.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and okay. Like I said, we actually started with equipment financing. That's what we've been doing the longest. So we have a
okay.
lot of options for that. We
right.
do have programs that offer full prepayment to the vendors up front,
yeah.
and allows you to get the equipment in place before you
okay.
make the payments on it.
All right.
So, and
well,
I'm not going to call it a try and buy and then behind your back call it a buy and try.
Yeah, unbelievable. And he was bragging, and he was a bragging
bad
about
for
it.
That's bad for future business.
You think?
Yeah.
Because I told the salesperson here that set it up, I said, we won't be working with them.
Yeah, I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, not them. Let's find somebody else, but not the people who lied to your face.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, Laura, I mean,
Sam, this has been a pleasure.
Absolutely. If you guys do want to explore some options, I'm more than willing to, you know, go through the entire process with you. If you
okay.
were to, you know, at least see what we have,
yep.
let you know that you would be dealing with me the entire time.
Okay.
So
good.
I would be personally on the file the entire time, not just for the first time, not for the second time, not just the third time, but always.
Okay. Well, that sounds good too. All right. I appreciate your time, Sam. This has been fun.
Absolutely. I
hopefully
concur.
We'll talk again.
Absolutely. You have my number. Feel free to reach out. I probably will give you a call maybe once a quarter to touch base to see if anything does come
up. Sounds good. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Take care,
enjoy the day.
Sam. Bye-bye.
You too.